I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
We may need Dr. Most to join us after 9
I've got a stomach
in the CLTV hour because we'll have Paul Conrad on. And Paul's going to be very upset. There's a new list on BuzzFeed. Did you know BuzzFeed does lists? I don't know if you know that. A new list on BuzzFeed of the 50 hottest male TV news anchors in the country. Larry Potash and Pat Tomasulo both made it.
Yeah, Conrad wasn't on there.
Don't get excited about the fact that
Conrad was. I feel bad. I feel bad because he is.
Yeah, Conrad wasn't on there. Oh, it's better for the show because he'll be, you know, very. Well, I think he'll be upset. We'll
bitter.
Yeah, anyway, that'll be after 9. Dr. Kevin Most joins us. How was your weekend?
Do you think Paul's going to be depressed? Is that why you want to be
so.
Out with him?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think we need to help him handle anxiety and stress.
Yes.
So
he seems very on edge.
If you put like Paul Conrad and Tomasulo and Potash in a room together, you would think there'd be some women that would go for Conrad, wouldn't you? No one?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Judging by personality, absolutely.
All right, his anxiety will definitely be there. How was your weekend? What'd you do?
What do you think? 65, 70 degrees? So
I'm guessing that you were inside reading medical manuals?
Yes, all weekend.
Yes, that's so.
No, it was nice. Even with a bad cold, I still got out and got to play golf with the brothers on Saturday. Even little Jerry, David's little 5-year-old came out, and we had a great time.
Now, last week, speaking of your family, I was a guest of MacMost at WLTL, which is where? What school is it?
LaGrange. LaGrange, LT.
Lyons Township.
Lyons Township.
Yep.
And a lot of people have come through that program, and I went out and spoke to the youngsters about, show business.
Did you inspire young minds?
Well, here's how it works. You go in, you talk to them, and they go, who's the old guy? And I'm talking for a while. And then I started talking to them about them. And as soon as I turned it on them, they were fascinated. Once I started talking about them, Doc, they couldn't have been more thrilled.
You know, they're finishing their marathon this weekend. They go 88.1 hours for this weekend as a fundraiser.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. You can watch it online. And,
it's an amazing radio station in a high school.
It's pretty cool.
And they got a television station in a high school as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, Mac's great, and he still says you're his favorite uncle.
Yeah, I got to stop sending him those checks.
I was going to say, keep the cash coming. Yeah, definitely keep the cash coming. But he's a great kid. All right, so let's talk about smoking. I never have, but I grew up in a house with a father who would literally light one with the next one. And my mother was a pretty heavy smoker as well. My dad probably, and I'm not exaggerating, 3-4 packs a day guy. My mother, maybe a pack a day. You can understand maybe why I didn't have any interest in it. But I was under the impression, Doc, that smoking is way, 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 way down. Is that true?
Well, from what you were talking about, it absolutely is. Because what you were talking about as you were a child, those smoking rates were probably north of 30, maybe 40, maybe even approach 50% at some time. We're down, for the most part of the country, we're down at about 15% right now. There are still some states that are up about 25%. And we've seen a big decrease in the past 10 years, down from 20% to 15%, but still very prevalent considering that we know all the damage that smoke does.
And the damage that smoke does, starts with the way we grew up in the 70s, the Marlboro Man and all of those guys making it seem like everybody ought to be doing it.
Yeah. You know, between Joe Camel and the Marlboro Man, smoking was cool. That's what you were supposed to do. And when in World War One, we gave cigarettes and rations to our soldiers. So when they came back, they were addicted to cigarettes, and it just exploded from there. So, you know, if you look at the history of cigarette smoking across this country, it's absolutely fascinating when you look to see the impact advertising has on a product that we know is going to cause harm. And, you know, we talk about harm being with lung cancer, but boy, there's a lot more harm. Bronchitis, pneumonia, emphysema, secondhand smoke. So it's actually amazing history.
I was going to ask you about secondhand smoke. That's so key. I still, I'm parked behind or I'm driving behind someone one time or sometimes, and people flick the cigarettes out of the car still, which that just drives me crazy. But the dangers of secondhand smoke, is that gone down slightly, Doc?
Well, it has because of what we've done, right? So we restricted where you can smoke. If you remember, Andrea, the days when you went out of the bars and hung out all night, and you would come home and you'd be like, oh,
of course
she
remembers. It was
never.
This weekend.
I got to throw these clothes away because they just reeked of smoke.
It's true. Remember that?
Yeah, and now at least you know we protected those workers. You know that the people that were exposed to like your dad, Steve, they were probably exposed to four packs of cigarettes during their work shift.
So I often wonder too. You know, you look at Christopher Reeve,
yep.
Christopher Reeve and his wife both dying from lung cancer, and I don't believe either one smoked, right?
Correct.
So is there an exposure problem where it's some sort of latency in your body that it comes up later in life, or we don't know?
Well, there's not so much that. There's about probably, if you look at all people with lung cancer, you're probably looking at 90% of them, there's a known smoking exposure, known smoking history. There's still going to be another 10-15% that, boy, they get lung cancer and we don't have any reason why. We know that radon might cause some of it. We know that there's probably some other chemical exposures. And then there's probably a genetic portion to it as well. But the vast majority of them, and the ones that we can impact, the ones that we can change, are those that are being exposed to cigarette smoke.
And the exposure is probably, I'm guessing, more dangerous in children and older people?
Absolutely. You know, Andrew, you talked about secondhand smoke, and we say, okay, let's take it out of the restaurants and take it out of public places so we can protect them. We really have to remember in your home. You know, in Chicago, when it's super cold out, nobody wants to go outside and smoke a cigarette. And they go, oh, it's only one cigarette. But with kids, we know that inflammation causes asthma. So we start to see a huge increase in the number of asthmatic kids coming from homes of smokers. So I always tell people, you know what, if you're going to get out of the house, don't just go in the garage. Get away from the house and smoke so that when you come in, you're not bringing any of the irritants in to expose your kids. And the biggest thing is don't be around a newborn. The lungs are still developing. They cannot take a toxic hit when they're very young.
You know what I'm smelling more of, too, is the medical marijuana. I mean, I'm assuming it's medical marijuana.
You've got to get out of the bars.
No, I'm telling you, in buildings and even along the bike path, I'll see people, you know, smoking what I am hoping and assuming is medicinal marijuana. The secondhand smoke from that isn't good either, right?
It's not. As a matter of fact, you know, some people say it might even be worse. There's no filters on those, so, you know, there's more of the exposure to it. That being said, it's kind of interesting what you said. It's amazing how you now will smell smoke, and you'll be looking around going, who's smoking? And it might be somebody, you know, tens of yards away, but our noses now are so in tune to that because we're not exposed to it. Same with marijuana. And it used to be, oh, you know, there's some kids smoking marijuana, but now we do have to realize that there's approved uses for marijuana, and don't just judge those people based on what your history has been.
We'll come back, and Dave Ennett needs to talk about the fight for air climb, but we'll also do the likelihood that you're going to be able to beat smoking. So for those of you driving to work this morning, you're getting ready to go, who, you know, having your coffee and your cigarette going, I wish I could quit, maybe Doc's got a new plan for you. Maybe he's got an idea. Maybe he doesn't. I guess you'll just have to stick around and find out. Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Dave, Doc joins us again, and your fight for air climb is when?
It is a week from Sunday. It's March the 5th. The American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb, presented by United Healthcare at the Presidential Towers. It's Chicago's biggest stair climb. We have, I think, over 30 climbers now on our WGN radio team, but we're still looking for more, and we're still inviting
are there some staff members that are going to be there?
Yeah, over 30.
But they're not listeners in that over 30? Are they all staff?
I think they're no, I think that number is just our staff.
Wow. Well, there's always listeners, right, Dave?
Listeners always join us.
Yeah, the same ones every year.
Yeah, Mary. Mary's not joining us this
year.
Why
aren't you going?
I'll be in Florida. I'm so bummed.
Why are you going to be in Florida?
Stay here. I'm on vacation.
Stay here. The weather's nicer here, Mary.
I know. This is the first year I haven't done it. I'm bummed.
Yeah, where are you going in Florida?
Sanibel?
Yeah, I hear it's going to be bad that weekend.
Oh, come on. There's no tornadoes.
And there are no really tall buildings in Sanibel either.
Yeah.
But it's 2,340 steps, 180 floors total, 45 in each of the four towers. You don't have to climb all four, but that's what we're going to do.
You're going to do great.
And you can register or pledge online at fightforairclimb.org or call 312-781-1100. It's really a terrific event. And should be a great day.
And, Doc, you had an idea for me instead of the Fight for Air Climb Stair Climb.
Well, I did, but I think you should share it.
It's a Fight for Air Climb Elevator Climb, where you climb into the elevator and you take that because it's faster.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
How about this, Steve? What if we put like a step stool or a step ladder in the elevator, and then you climbed up and down that step ladder while the elevator was going up?
Like an aerobic step?
Sort of, yeah.
You can do that, Stephen.
I can put on like an Olivia Newton-John headband.
Yes. And leg warmers.
Yes, get physical.
And I'll hold the elevator door open for you and write a nice big fat check.
All right, good. I'm into that.
What Andrea has just said is probably the biggest thing. I think, you know, it's great that Dave and his team and the team and it to win it. So, I mean, it's a pretty cool name. But, you know, go online. If you can't go down and do it, go online and donate. Yeah. Even just a few dollars, because I'll tell you, lung cancer and lung disease is one where we are falling behind and we have not made the advances like we have in many other cancers. It's terrible.
So
they really need the funding dollars.
Yeah, I wrote a big check last year. I'll probably do it again this year. All right, I will. I'll write a check this year as well, just because I don't want to deal with the, you know, the hassle of not going.
And plus, Monday morning, you would come in and we would shame you.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so I'm happy to write a check.
Yeah, we'll write big fat checks.
Yeah. Can you take a credit card? This little scam you're running, will you take a credit card as well, Dave?
Go to fightforairclimb.org and they have all the information there.
Yeah, it's not a scam. It's the American Lung Association. Yes. Couldn't be more legit, and they're great people. Samber?
I wanted to point out, Doc Mo said in his prep, he was talking about when people find out they have lung cancer, it's too late, because that means it's already, I don't know the phrasing of it, but by the time you know you have lung cancer, you aren't usually surviving. It's just extending life. But you were saying that there's a test, Doc?
Correct.
That people can get. And so I don't think anyone knows about this. And I know, like, I'm going to have my parents do it because they fall into the category you mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, like Mary just said, often by the time we diagnose lung cancer, it is metastasized so much or it has spread so much that really there's no cure. It's just, how do we extend life? How do we make your quality of life as good as we can and your quantity? But we're not going to be able to cure it. However, we know that if we can find it early enough, we can cure it. If it's located in just one lobe, a lobe of the lung, we can remove a portion of the lung and actually remove the cancer and save it. So we never had good screening tests. I can tell you one of my worst days as a doctor was on Christmas morning, and I was seeing a patient. I did a chest x-ray, and he had a big mass in his lung, and he's sitting there with his two daughters, and I'm like, just crying almost. But now we do have an approved test. It's called a low-dose CAT scan. Now, the beauty of CAT scans are is that they can pick up very small things that we wouldn't see in a chest x-ray. So we've done enough studies to show that this works. And so here's what you have to be. If you're a smoker or you've quit in the past 15 years, you're between the ages of 55 and 74, and you've smoked more than 30 pack years in your life, you're eligible to have this test done. It's covered by your insurance. It's a screening test just like a colonoscopy would be.
And what's the success of the test?
Very high. We're talking, extremely high as far as two things happen. They'll see something and they'll say, okay, it is so small right now, we're not sure what that is. Instead of going in and having surgery, we're going to rescreen you in 6 months. But at least we're starting to track these things. So if we find something that's growing irregularly, we can go in and treat it and take care of it before it has spread, which is the biggest part right now. There's estimates about 7 million, 6.8 million people are eligible for this, and yet only 4%, whether they don't know about it or whether they don't want to know. But it's sad that we have these people that would qualify for this test that would extend their quantity of life as well as their quality of life, and the test isn't being done.
Do doctors know, or do doctors bring it up enough?
Absolutely. I think, the doctors, one thing with doctors is now is we probably don't ask as much of what was your past smoking history. I always want to know if you smoked and when you quit, because we know that as you start quitting, the impact of quitting is huge, even after a very short period of time. But we probably haven't gone back and said, when you were smoking, did you fit into this category? You know, because a lot of people wised up when they got a little bit older and stopped smoking. And for docs, it's like, okay, wait a second. Did you hit that 30-pack here? Are you now in this age range, and should we be getting this test?
All right, we're way late here, but we have to talk about quitting. How do you quit?
Well, Steve, you know, I think the biggest thing is the biggest deterrent is what's your motivation? If you say it's a New Year's resolution, I'll tell you, you can forget it. You're not going to quit. It's got to either be health, health of your family, health of others. Financial impact are probably the big ones. So once you have the motivation, we have so many ways to do it now. We have medications that can do it. Hypnosis can do it. If you want to try cold turkey, we have psychologists that will help you. There's so many different ways, and each different way is going to be tailored to an individual. Someone might say, you know what, I'm going to do great with medication because I don't want to do the hypnosis, or I don't want to do psychology training, or I don't want to break this habit. But I'll tell you, it's got to be, you have to have a motivation, and that's going to be the biggest thing. And I tell you, New Year's resolution is not going to cut it. It's going to be your health, extending the quality and quantity of your life, the health of others in your family, or the financial impact it's making on you and your family.
For more information on it, where do you send people?
You know, American Lung Association is great, and I would, you know, anybody that's had someone who's died of lung cancer, it's an absolutely terrible way to die. Anybody who's had a family member with emphysema, it's a terrible way to die. So, you know, open up your checkbook, write Dave a check, or, you know, not Dave, but to support him.
Yeah, don't make it payable to Dave.
Yeah. But the people that are going out and are trying to increase the awareness, even $20 will make a huge impact because we have to get our arms around this illness.
Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. And have a good day. Thanks for being on.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon.
See you later. News next, 720 WGN.